Country. Joel here, the morning show. Look at that. We found somebody to show some interest in what we're doing over here today. Greg Gunderson, how you doing, Greg?
Wafted in on the breeze. How about yourself?
Good. A light dab into the gray area today. But earlier this morning, I was talking about the proposal. Well, the Lions brought it forward, but you know there's other NFL teams. About the playoff proposal to adjust the NFL playoffs. And there was discussion about this last year when you had teams like the Vikings who were, 14-3 or 13-4, playing on the road against a team that lost, that won three or four less games. So the adjustment of the NFL playoff system, I think, is going to happen.
Absolutely. I think there was no reason to ask this question before because we didn't see a division like last year's NFC North until last year. It was an absolute bloodbath here in the Midwest.
Yeah, it was.
So I mean, like, there was no reason to even ask that question. You know, it was an interesting theoretical idea. Hey, did you know it's possible for a team with a worse record to be seeded higher? Yeah, of course. But it's not going to happen. Well, it happened. It happened. The guys in purple did it, and the guys in blue didn't like it much. Did they?
No, they didn't. And division titles they're just not a thing. Nobody cares. The NBA has divisions, and it doesn't matter if you win your division or lose your division. You could actually win your division in the NBA, and technically you could not make the playoffs. So it doesn't matter. No one's bragging about it. There's no Viking fan that's saying, hey, I had this discussion earlier where a Packer fan will, of course, look at a Viking fan and say, hey, well, you know what you call a Viking fan with a Super Bowl ring? A thief. You know, all that stuff about the Super Bowl jokes, you know.
Yep, the empty trophy case jokes.
Yeah. Yes, the antithesis, the response by a Viking fan in the history has never been, yeah, but we won 21 division titles.
Yeah.
There's t-shirts, that's about it. But other than that, winning the division title in the NFL will get you in the playoffs, and I still like that because that way if you have a bad division, you got 2 7-8 teams, they're still battling for that thing. But when it comes to the seeding, yeah, it only makes sense that the better record team move ahead.
Right, and of course it's very possible to have a better record than a team who beat you twice. So it's how this came to be is no mystery, but some simple adjustments will prevent this kind of minor injustice without causing any other damage. It's basically, whoops, we didn't account for this, and it'd be very easy to, you know. Yeah. You know, it's like forgetting to close the toilet lid. Well, there's a splash we never dealt with, time to close it. That's all it is. We're just making a very simple adjustment to the system as it works, and it will work fine.
Yeah, and we now have a pretty clear picture of what's going to happen in the upcoming NFL season as far as teams, what their quarterbacks look like. The Vikings are going with J.J. McCarthy. Their backup is still yet to be determined, and it'll probably be a veteran of some sorts and everything else. So we have a good feel for what the landscape is going to look like going into the NFL season next year.
Generally, yeah. There are still a couple question marks, like quarterback for the Tennessee Titans and the Cleveland Browns. I saw an interesting article yesterday that the Browns are incredibly talented at finding average quarterbacks. If you look at everybody, you know, you get that joke that the Browns
is that
just,
a talent?
Apparently, it's like a superpower, I guess. Like, hey, I can get. It's like Mike McCarthy; he'll get you an 8-8 season, but not much better. You know, he might make you the playoffs if he's got Aaron Rodgers, but without 500, baby, here we go. It's like Jeff Fisher. You know, there's some people who just have a knack for mediocrity, and that's kind of what's going on there with the Browns at quarterback. Seriously, though, you'll find those jokes, the guys wearing Browns jerseys with quarterbacks 19 names long because it's the last 5 years. Yeah. And they cycle through them. Well, if you look at all those names and you look at the kind of average line of quarterback performance, the Browns quarterbacks are, they hang out there like it's the water cooler. Like they are at average as though it is a destination resort. Hey, we're hanging out at the average line. So Kenny Pickett might be average for the Browns this year. There's a couple free agents floating around. Of course, the big question, will Aaron Rodgers? Apparently, the Steelers have a standing offer for Aaron Rodgers, so he's just really deciding whether he wants to be a Steeler. Of course, a lot of talk that it's not worth dealing with him. We're at that part where there's a lot of rumors and not much substance. The true lull has begun in the offseason until the draft.
I think it's safe to say that we are the only media outlet outside of Tennessee, or Nashville, Tennessee, or Cleveland that is talking about the quarterbacks for Nashville.
Yeah, probably. Cleveland. Probably. It just, yeah, it's, I mean, it does say something that there are two very needy teams and two decent quarterbacks in the draft. So maybe 2 + 2 = 4, but it's never that simple. Someone's going to reach, someone's going to miss.
But your comment about the mediocre Browns quarterbacks, 40 quarterbacks for the Browns since 1999. Tim Couch. See, this is your mediocrity, all right? This
is where,
Tim Couch, Ty Detmer, Doug Peterson.
Spurgeon Wynn.
Spurgeon Wynn sighting. Kelly Holcomb. Jeff Garcia. He was all right.
Yeah, he had he gave him hope for a couple weeks.
Luke McCown. Trent Dilfer.
Whoops.
Charlie Fry.
Whoops.
Derek Anderson. Brady Quinn.
Whoops.
Ken Dorsey. Bruce Gronkowski. Your argument is just being solidified in cement right now.
Colt McCoy, Jake Dillhome, Seneca Wallace. And wait, there it is. There's the gem. Brandon Whedon. He was 28 years old when they drafted him. Oh, my Brandon goodness, Whedon. Cleveland, what are you doing?
Thad Lewis, Jason Campbell, Brian Hoyer. Goodness gracious. Johnny Manziel, of course. And that's only half of them.
I swear the best part of the Browns left and became the Ravens and has never looked back. Yikes, guys. What are you doing? Well, I mean, it's ownership, though. It's obviously ownership because some owners take a more active role in the leadership, in the roster building. Look at Shad Khan down in Jacksonville. You want to know why the Jaguars are still who they've been for the last 15 years? It's because Shad Khan still owns the team. He's a great guy, a fantastic guy, by all accounts, a great hand. You'd love to have a beer with him, but I wouldn't trust him with the keys to my NFL team because aggressively mediocre, some people just have a knack for. Some of those people are billionaires who own NFL teams. That's just how it is.
I'm curious. I want Jameis Winston at some point to play an entire 17-game season before he retires. I want to see how many interceptions he will throw in a 17-game season because he's already thrown 111 in his career. He is Mr. Interception. So he's still out there, and there's still talks of him maybe being places. He is one of the most, inconsistent is a word.
Consistently inconsistent, though.
Yeah, you know what you're getting.
He's a true scattershot. Yeah, like you, there's no surprises, which is horrifying because there's a lot of interceptions, and you'd want those to be surprises.
Yeah.
I've never seen somebody with such a guaranteed media deal after his career is over, though, because he has an enthusiasm, a charisma to him. It led to one of the worst pregame pep talks I've ever seen. If you've never seen the Eat a W speech from Jameis Winston, it's pretty cringy, but the person behind that speech is fun to watch. I don't know, I can't speak to his quality as a person, but he's certainly fun to watch, and we'll be watching him after he's done playing. In fact, we've probably seen more of him since he's paused playing and entered backup status, because he's still just that fun of a personality.
So here's what you should do as a coach with a guy like Jameis Winston, who you know is, if he plays a whole game, he's gonna throw a couple of picks. So if he goes out there and throws and has a good drive and throws a touchdown pass, you do like you do at the roulette table in Vegas, all right? If you put $10 down on black and you hit black, you take that $20 and you walk away.
You leave. You leave. So, you don't continue to play.
So Jameis Winston, if that first drive results in a touchdown and a pass, you immediately pull him out of the game and you put the substitute in, and then you randomly select another time to come back and maybe try it again.
Nice drive, Jameis. Take a seat.
Yeah, why not? I mean, the history shows that it's going to be given right back, right?
You know, we were talking last year on my afternoon show about the double quarterback idea. Steve Young and Joe Montana was one of the relevant ones. The question this past offseason was Russell Wilson or Justin Fields there, as they had both joined the Steelers during the offseason. And we talked about why two quarterbacks just can't work. You don't get locker room cohesion. You don't get the ability to have one guy under center in practice so that the other guys know what to expect. It just, there's a couple reasons that it really doesn't work. I'm pretty sure, Joel, that our first successful double quarterback team will not involve Jameis Winston.
Well, if they keep adding games to the season, or talk about going 18 now, you might get to the point where an NFL team needs two units.
Yeah, I was thinking, you know? A weeks and B weeks. Let's do 20 games, 10 with Group A, 10 with Group B.
Yeah.
Well, that sounds like an absolute free for all though, because you're going to have salary cap rules for both of them, separate free agencies. One's going to be a talentless squad. Like, it would be a way to have a talent farm, but basically people would go every other week watching their teams and then skip it. It's just like, nope, B squad, not doing it.
Just rotate them between in the game. I mean, the opening drive, squad A goes out, and then the B unit goes out in the second drive. The B unit is on the sideline going through on their iPads, going through all the stuff, and here comes the B. You don't know which unit. Could you imagine, though, as a defense and preparing for a team, not knowing what they're going to do, if they're going to run the shotgun, if they're going to run the option, the pistol, or if they come out and they decide to throw it. I mean, it could be very confusing for a defense to adjust to that.
You know, and maybe you have your B squad run an A squad play to confuse them so they don't know what's coming, and we got to call a timeout. That's the ace. See, I'm picturing a little bit of a different scenario, though, where, see, I think there's, I'm picturing a little bit of interrelationship adversity in this little mythical world we're building. I'm thinking, imagine the NFL with each team has an A and a B squad, and it's every other week. You know, the really talented guys, they're the A squad, and it's kind of like JV and varsity. The B squad players are hoping to rotate into the A squad, but players who aren't in the league, they're hoping to make the B. I'm picturing dating profiles, Joel. That's what I'm seeing here. At the top of my Match.com profile is, I need you to know, first and foremost, I watch B squad football. And you know, there's going to be like a whole class of women out there who don't want to date guys who watch B squad football because that's just too much involvement in football for them. Like, there's a whole, I can picture this too easy. Maybe I need to work on this a little bit.
Jameis Winston last year, 13 touchdowns, 12 interceptions. If he stays at the roulette wheel one more time, it might hit the...
He did it. He did it that 50, one year. 50. It was 30 of both. He's the only quarterback ever to throw 30 picks and 30 interceptions, or and 30... different scenario though, where, see, I think there's, I'm picturing a little bit of interrelationship adversity in this little mythical world we're building. I'm thinking, imagine the NFL with each team has an A and a B squad, and it's every other week. You know, the really talented guys, they're the A squad, and it's kind of like JV and varsity. The B squad players are hoping to rotate into the A squad, but players who aren't in the league, they're hoping to make the B. I'm picturing dating profiles, Joel. That's what I'm seeing here. At the top of my Match.com profile is, I need you to know, first and foremost, I watch B squad football. And you know, there's going to be like a whole class of women out there who don't want to date guys who watch B squad football because that's just too much involvement in football for them. Like, there's a whole, I can picture this too easy. Maybe I need to work on this a little bit.
Jameis Winston last year, 13 touchdowns, 12 interceptions. If he stays at the roulette wheel one more time, it might hit the...
He did it. He did it that 50, one year. 50. It was 30 of both. He's the only quarterback ever to throw 30 picks and 30 interceptions and 30 touchdowns in the same season.
I'm keeping this recording because I think I've broken new ground here on NFL philosophy. I'm either onto something or on something that we have A's and group A. I think expand to like a 70-man roster. We got something going here. This is like the fifth grade football team where it's just like everybody gets to play. So they go, all right, you guys are going in to play the first minute. You guys are going in to play the next minute. You guys are going in, and it's just chaos everywhere.
I think we need to write down our ideas, Joel, so that we can submit them to the league, but we've got to be careful because we might be writing a manifesto.
And before you know it, you got Jim Marshall running the wrong way to the other end zone.
Oh, God, one of the most painful videos I've ever seen.
All right, great. We might see you back in here for Shopping Show. We'll see. We'll figure this whole thing
we'll
out.
We'll see. So, what's today going to be?
Yes, we've got...